How many of you have ever looked at your father's hands or your grandfather's hands? You know, there's a saying that you can tell a lot by a man by his hands. You know, there's a lot of things that our fathers have taught us growing up, things they taught us verbally. And then there's those things that our fathers have taught us by example, just through their actions. Today we're going to be trying to honor Dad, and we're going to be looking at ways Dad has invested into our lives. And then in turn, we're going to look at a couple ways that we can invest into Dad's life. I want to read to you a poem. It's called Grandpa's Hands, when thinking about a man's hands. And when I read this poem, I think of my grandfather, my Grandpa Warner. I also think of my father now that he is a grandfather. And you can think of your father and your grandpa as we read this poem. This is by Melidia Clements. It's one of my favorites. Grandpa, some 90 years plus, sat feebly on the patio bench. He didn't move. He just sat with his hands, with his hands and his head down, staring at his hands. When I sat down beside him, he didn't acknowledge my presence any longer. I wondered if he was okay. Finally, not really wanting to disturb him, but wanting to check on Grandpa, at the same time, I asked him if he was okay. He raised his head and looked at me and smiled. "Yes, I'm fine. Thank you for asking," he said in a clear, strong voice. "I didn't mean to disturb you, Grandpa, but you were just sitting here staring at your hands, and I wanted to make sure you were okay," I explained to him. Grandpa turned and looked at me and said, "Have you ever looked at your hands?" he asked. "I mean, really looked at your hands." Slowly, I opened my hands, and I stared down at them. I turned them over, palms up, palms down. "No, I guess I've never really looked at my hands," as I tried to figure out his point that Grandpa was making. He smiled and related this story to me. "Stop and think for a moment about the hands you have, how they've served you well throughout your years. These hands, though wrinkled, shriveled, and weak, have been the tools I've used all my life to reach out and grab and embrace life. They've embraced and caught my fall when I was a toddler, when I crashed upon the floor. They put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. As a child, my mother taught me how to fold them in prayer. They tied my shoes and pulled on my boots. They held my rifle and wiped away tears when I went off to war. They've been dirty, scraped, raw, swollen, and bent. Many were uneasy, clumsy when I tried to hold my newborn son. Decorated with the wedding band, they showed the world that I was married and loved someone special. They wrote letters to home, trembled and shook when I buried my parents and spouse. They walked my daughter down the aisle. Yet they were strong and sure when I dug my buddy out of a foxhole and lifted a plow off my best friend's foot. They've held children, consoled neighbors, shook in fists of anger when I didn't understand. They've covered my face. They've combed my hair. They've washed and cleansed the rest of my body. They've been sticky, wet, bent, broken, dried, and raw. And to this day, when not much of anything else of me works real well, these hands hold me up. They lay me down. And again, they continue to fold in prayer. These hands are the mark of where I've been and the ruggedness of my life. But more importantly, it will be these hands that God reaches out to take when he leads me home. And with these hands, he will lift me to his side, and there I will use these hands to touch his face. I will never look at my hands the same again. But I remember God reached out and took my grandpa's hands and led me home. When my hands hurt or are sore, or when I stroke the face of my children and my wife, I think of Grandpa or I think of my dad, and I know he has been stroked and caressed and held by the hands of God the Father. And I too want to touch the face of God and feel his hands upon my face. Just yesterday, I was working with my father-in-law, and I got reminded of how one can hurt his hands very easily. I appreciate the hands that God has given me, but I thank the Lord for the hands that have invested into my life, specifically my father's hands and my grandfather's hands. You can also think of people, specifically your father or father figures, who have invested in your life. And we're about to look at five ways that possibly Dad has invested in your life. And there's many other ways. The first one that came to my mind when I was thinking about Dad and how he's invested in my life, I was reminded that, first of all, Dad has provided. Dad has invested in my life by providing. You can think of this, I'm sure, in your own life if you had a father who was hardworking. He went off to work every day to provide for his family. Jesus, when teaching his disciples how to pray, gave this example in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 9 and 10. At first he says in verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if he has a son, ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil," or being fleshly, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, your heavenly Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do so also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Jesus tells his disciples, he tells us to illustrate how our heavenly Father is there to care for us and answer our prayers. He says, he gives the illustration of an earthly father, a fleshly father. And he says, when a son asks for something to eat, how many fathers would give their son a stone, right? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. A father wouldn't do that, right? Fathers care for their kids. Fathers provide for their children. And then he says, how much more will your Father in heaven provide for you? You know, we don't necessarily deserve the provisions that we got from our Father, and we know we don't deserve the provision from our Heavenly Father, yet God, Jesus, tells us that our Heavenly Father loves us, and he will provide for us. God the Father says that, you know, just as an earthly father carries very deeply for his children and provides for them, so our Heavenly Father cared very much for us, and he provided for us. The Bible tells us that we were lost in sin. All people are born in sin. Because of one man, sin and death entered the world, Romans 5:12. And thus, because of one man, sin and death spread to all men. All are born sinners. If you don't believe you're a sinner, just take yourself through the Ten Commandments, and you'll find very quickly that all of us fail to keep God's law. We all fall short. God did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He provided through his Son, Jesus. Jesus came and died in our place on a cross, the Bible says. He died a horrible death, and he paid the debt that we could never pay in full. That's how much God the Father loves for us. We did not deserve his provisions, and yet he loved us anyway. Praise God for the Father who provides for his children. Praise God for the Father who provided in your life. Praise the Lord for our Heavenly Father who provided through his Son, Jesus Christ, when we never deserved it. If you had a dad that selflessly went to work every day to provide for you, you are blessed. You are blessed. Praise the Lord for the provisions of your Father. And praise the Lord for the provision of your Heavenly Father. I know now, as a son, I appreciate my Father even more now that I have a little girl that calls me Daddy. And I think of how she looks up to me and how she just looks at me, and that look just makes me want to do anything for her. And I think of how much my Father loved me and provided for me. And then I think of how much my Heavenly Father loves me and how much he loved his Son. And yet he was not willing to hold back his Son. He provided for our greatest need. And I think, wow, that's a lot of love. And I appreciate my Father that much more and the investment he made in my life. Are you thankful for your Father's provisions? Have you stopped and told your dad, thanks, appreciate you going to work every day? Have you stopped and thanked your Heavenly Father for his provision of his Son, Jesus Christ? If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible is clear that there's nothing you can do to earn favor with God. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again. And you have to confess with your mouth that he is Lord. That's how you have forgiveness of sins and a relationship with God. And if you do know Jesus, are you thankful? Do you tell God thankful? Are you trying to live a life that honors him? I love this poem. It's called The Greatest Hero. This world has had many heroes, some you know by name. They give their best at what they do, so they deserve their fame. But among all the heroes of this world has ever had, there is not one admired more than the guy I call my dad. Perhaps not like others, he doesn't look for praise. He's heroic in special way, in his thoughtful, caring ways. Perhaps he's not as famous as others that you might see, but he's everything and so much more that heroes ought to be. He keeps his word. It's as good as gold. And on this you can depend. he's honest, and he's loyal too. He's also a true friend. When I hear about a hero and the great things that they've done, it reminds me of my earthly father, and he's the greatest one. I love that. That was written by an unknown person. It's a great poem about dad. So dad provided for you. Secondly, dad invested in you by sacrificing. He sacrificed for you. And I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, but it seems like every father at some point in some time has had to sacrifice their special toy for their child. So far, I haven't had to sacrifice too much, but the time is coming, you say. Yeah, I'm sure it is. I remember my dad, I never saw the car, but he owned a 1968, I'm probably telling the wrong year, but it was a 1968 Chevy Chevelle. And when him and my mom had kids, guess what? We got to sell the car because we need the money. And I'm sure you can all tell of stories of the way your dad, he had some special toy, maybe it was a motorcycle, snowmobile, sweet car, sweet truck, whatever. And he sacrificed that for his family. And it's not just in sometimes in his belongings, but and sometimes even just his mindset. And you know, it's crazy today, more and more Christian couples, I'm finding, don't want to have children. And Steve Farrar, he writes a book called Point Man, said this in response to, why aren't Christian couples seeing that children are a blessing from God? I mean, that's what the scriptures teach us. And I love what he says. He says, the reason that Christian couples don't want to have kids today is because they're being selfish. And they want the immediate gratification instead of what's best. And listen to what he has to say. He says this, it takes wisdom to wait for what is best. More and more couples today are choosing not to have children because they don't want the hassle of dealing with kids. They want the immediate gratification of over-delayed satisfaction. It takes wisdom to wait for the best. Steve used to have a BMW before he had kids. It was flawless, he says. Now he has an Audi, which is a nice car, but it's anything but flawless. Steve said this about his life, "My life has greatly improved. God has brought me more blessing through my life, through these three children, than any material possession could ever bring. Trust me," he said, "it's a lot more fun raising kids than a BMW. Oh, man, how many parents or how many couples are missing out on that blessing of being a father, of being a mother? Think about the sacrifice parents have made, your dad has made, how he invested in you. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the biblical example of Elkanah. Now, we looked at Hannah, his wife. If you would, turn with me to 1 Samuel. We looked at him, we looked at her on Mother's Day and how she invested in her family. How we often forget how her husband also invested in his family. Elkanah sacrificed by willingly giving up his firstborn son to the Lord. Remember, he had two wives. That's not the way God has designed things. One was Hannah, and the other one was Peninnah. And Peninnah had lots of children. Hannah had no children. She prayed to the Lord that the Lord would bless her womb, and the Lord heard her prayer. And part of that was she promised that she would devote that child to the ministry, to serving God, if God blessed her womb. And so God blesses her womb. She has a child. And I love this. If you pick up with verse 21 of chapter 1, it says, "Now the man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer to the Lord." So this is a man that loves God, fears God. He's doing what he believes is right. He offers to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. "But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever.'" We saw how Hannah selflessly invested. She kept her promise. She, even after God had blessed her with the child, she continued to have that mindset. This God gave me this child, and it's God's child. And then I love this. "And so Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word.' Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him." Wow. Did you see the response of Elkanah? I love that. "Do what seems best to you." This was a man who sacrificed for his family. And then you see that, you know, this prayer of Hannah. And it says that in verse 28, therefore, I also lent him to the Lord as long as he lives, and he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. And then we see after this prayer of Hannah, after she gives God Samuel to the Lord, then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Elkanah sacrificed, in a sense, his firstborn son. He gave him to the Lord. You know, a child, especially a firstborn son, was a big deal in Jewish culture, okay? Because he was the heir. He was the descendant. He was the one that was going to carry on the family legacy. Yes, Elkanah had children with his wife, Peninnah, but we find that he truly, deeply loved Hannah. And so this would have been a sacrifice to him. This would have come at a great cost. In those days, children were the greatest investment because when you got old, guess who took care of you? Your children. That's the way it was designed in Bible times. That's what happened. The more children you had, the more blessed you were because you had all of these descendants who would care for you and provide for you. When dad couldn't work any longer, the children worked for dad and took care of mom and dad. And so this would have been a sacrifice. This would have come at a great cost. Yet Elkanah sacrificed for his family and for the Lord. Elkanah is a picture not only of a loving earthly father who sacrificed, but it's also a picture of our loving heavenly father who sacrificed his son, his only son, for the sins of the world. Our heavenly father loved us so much, he was willing to sacrifice his son, Jesus, so that we might have a relationship with God. What a cost that our heavenly father paid so that we could have a relationship with him. Praise the Lord for fathers who invest in their children by sacrificing for them. Are you thankful for the sacrifice of your earthly father? Are you thankful for the sacrifice of your heavenly father? Stop and take a moment today to thank your dad. And stop and take a moment today to thank your heavenly father for their sacrifice. Not only did dad provide, the dad sacrifice, we also see that fathers invest in their children by protecting, by protection. A father invests in his family by protecting his family. You know, when a bear comes into the woods, comes into the campsite while the family's camping, it's dad who goes and gets the pots and pans while the family tries to seek shelter, right? And bangs on the pots and pans, right? That's the father's job, right? It's the dad when there's a knock at the door in the middle of the night, usually, not always, that gets up to go see who's there, right? Because he's protecting his family. Fathers not only protect their family from physical harm, they also protect their family from spiritual harm. A father protects by teaching his children to fear God. That's what the Bible tells us. That's how he can protect them from spiritual harm. In Proverbs 14, 26 and 27, it says, In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. And the Bible just goes on with all these verses about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. He who walks in uprightness fears the Lord. A wise man fears the Lord and departs from evil. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord leads to life. These are just some of the many passages that talk about the fear of the Lord. A man who fears the Lord is a man who protects his family. A father who displays a fear of the Lord and teaches that to his children is a wise father. A father protects himself and his family by having a healthy fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, what is that? That's an awe-inspiring respect of who God is and what God is capable of doing. It's a deep reverence. It's an attitude of gratitude. A father who has a deep respect for God is a father who leads his family in love. And if you had a father that invested in your family by teaching you to fear God, you are blessed. You should be thankful that your father was a man who taught you to fear God. When something opposes God, when something opposes his word, it's the father's job to protect his family. And so children, if you're at home, teens, if you're at home and your dad comes in and you're watching a TV show that maybe has some profanity and he comes and he says, hey, this is what we should be watching. He's only protecting you. And that's his job. And mom will also do the same thing because they want to protect their children. It's a father's job to protect his family, not only from earthly harm, but also spiritual harm. If you had a father that invested in you by protecting you from earthly harm, praise God. Praise God for that father. If you didn't have an earthly father that protected you, and maybe you had an abusive father, praise God for your heavenly father. The Bible says that he protects you if you're his child. It says that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. God is going to protect you if you're his child. And even if you had an abusive earthly father, you have a heavenly father that protects you, that cares for you, that's looking out for you. And you can be thankful for that. Are you thankful for your father's protection? I praise the Lord for my father and his protection. Do you fear the Lord? When dad tells you that that's not a good idea, do you listen? Or do you give dad a hard time? Dads, how are you doing at protecting your family? Don't let anyone discourage you. Keep on doing what you believe God's word teaches you to do. Not only did dad provide, sacrifice, protect, we also see that dad loved selflessly. This is another way he's invested in our lives. This is also how our Heavenly Father is invested in our lives. Love selflessly. A father invests by loving you selflessly. Psalms 103 and verse 13. As a father pities his child, his children, that word pity means to cuddle, by implication to love, to have compassion on, to touch in an affectionate way. As a father loves his children affectionately, so the Lord loves his children affectionately, those who fear him. For the Lord knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. Naturally, a father, by God's design, should love his children and will love his children and will do anything for his children. He cuddles them because they're his, and he loves them selflessly, and he would do anything for them. The Lord loves those who fear him. The Lord loves those who want to honor God. It brings not only an earthly father great joy to see his children listen to him and heed his advice, it also brings our heavenly father great joy to see us fear God and seek to live by his word. And seek to live by his advice. As a father loves his children, God the Father loves you. I love this. It's the love of a father that motivates him to get up to go to work every day. It's the love of a father that disciplines his erring child, even though he doesn't want to. I do not like to spank my daughter, Laura. I really don't. But my wife's like, hey, you've got to do this because you love her. That's what a father should do, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. It's the love of a father that fixes his child's car for the 100th time. It's the love of a father that walks his daughter down the aisle. It's the love of the father that goes to the door late at night to see you there. It's the love of the father that goes off to war. It's the love of the father that puts his life on the line for the protection of his family. It's the love of a father who sent his only begotten son to die for a bunch of dirty, ungrateful, rotten sinners. Praise the Lord for the love of your earthly father, and praise the Lord for the love of your heavenly father. Praise God for the fathers that we have in this room. Praise God for the father you had in your life. As a young boy, I can remember one of the greatest joys I had and memories I have of my dad is he's driven trucks for a long time, hauling heavy equipment. And he would always stop by the house when he was going on a long trip with a big piece of equipment and ask if we wanted to go with him. And of course, we all had to wait our turn, and so we'd fight. No, it's my turn. No, it's your turn. No, it's my turn. No, you went last time. Because we all loved to ride with dad in the big truck, you know, as a 6 or 7 year old riding in a big truck and then getting to drive machinery. Then that was like the coolest thing in the world, right? My dad invested in us. He loved us selflessly by stopping, taking time out of his day to let us ride with him in the truck. And you can think of numerous examples in your own life, I'm sure, of your father, your earthly father, loving you selflessly, investing into your life, And even if you didn't have a good fatherly figure, I'm sure you had fatherly figures in your life who invested in you, who loved you selflessly. That's awesome. Praise God for those people and their investment in your life. Are you thankful for the love of your Heavenly Father? Are you living a life that pleases Him? I hope you are. I hope you've accepted His gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus. The last way that Dad's invested in us, and like I said, this isn't an all-inclusive list, but He's led by example. A father invests in his family by leading by example. Proverbs 20:17 says, the righteous man walks in integrity, walks in righteousness. His children are blessed after him. When a father seeks to live a righteous life, an upright life, they are investing in their children. That's what Proverbs 20:7 says. It doesn't mean that your father is going to be perfect. But if you had a father that was a man who kept to his word, who was a man that taught you to respect others, to honor other people, to be committed to your word, the Proverbs says that you are a child who is blessed. The writer of Proverbs says that just as a man walks in integrity, his children are blessed after him. The idea of walking in integrity does not mean that the man will be perfect, but it rather gives the idea of steadily pursuing that which is right, constantly seeking after that which is right. Because there's no perfect man out there. You didn't have a perfect father. I didn't have a perfect father. The only perfect father we have is our Heavenly Father. And so, yes, Dad's going to make mistakes. But if you had a father who was in constant motion or constant pursuit of that which is right, the Bible says that he is invested in you by leading by example, and you are blessed. A righteous man walks continually in the truth, and his children are blessed after him. Every Sunday of my entire childhood, my father went to church, and he made sure his children were in church. If you had that type of a father, the Bible says you were blessed. And even if you didn't have a father that went to church every day, but he tried to teach you what was right, the Bible says you were blessed. You should be thankful for your father's example. You should be thankful for your Heavenly Father. The greatest example in a young person's life, the greatest sermon, as Benjamin Franklin said, is a father's example. The greatest sermon is a father's example. Do you understand, parents, fathers, mothers, that you have the greatest influence on your children's lives? Yes, they'll come to church and they'll hear God's word, but what they see at home, that'll be their greatest sermon. Praise the Lord for dads who walked in the truth, who tried to live a righteous life, who tried to live a godly life. Praise the Lord for Dad's leadership and his example. Let's learn from our Heavenly Father, and let's learn to be, if you are a father, let's be people of integrity. Let's seek to be just like Dad. Let's be a person of integrity. In a world of sin, praise the Lord for a father who's a man of integrity and sought to lead by example, sought to be a godly example. What about you? Are you thankful for your dad? He may not have been an angel, but he was your dad. Are you seeking to be a man or a woman of integrity? If you had a poor father figure, you have a Heavenly Father that loves you, and he's full of integrity. Are you being honest and truthful in all your dealings? Fathers, are you leading your families in the truth? What kind of example are you setting? So these are some ways that Dad has invested in your life, and there's many more. Praise the Lord for the ways Dad has invested in you. What are some ways that we can invest in Dad? What are some ways that we can invest in Dad? First of all, from Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. I think the first way that we can invest in Dad, if you're at home, teens, children, obey. Obey your parents, because God tells us to. This isn't Pastor Paul that's telling you to. This isn't Pastor Dave. This is what God tells you to do. Obey your parents. For this is right. And it may not always be easy. It may not be always easy to obey your parents, to obey Dad's commands. And you may not always agree with your dad, but the Bible tells you to obey. Because it's right. And we're commanded to by God. If you're older and you're no longer living at home, that relationship changes. But now you're to honor your father. You're to honor your father and your mother. Honor dad. Invest in dad by honoring dad. Honor means to fix value, to revere, to respect. You should be respecting your father. And like I said, it may not always be easy to honor your dad, but it's what God has commanded us to do. And the best way to do things is always God's way. It's always God's way, not our way. God promises a healthy and better life to those who honor and obey their parents. That doesn't mean life will just be full of roses and flowers, but it will mean that it's God's way, and it'll be better for you, and you will be blessed for it. So honor dad. That's how you can invest in dad. Honor, obey. That may seem like it's really simple, and it's like the Sunday school answer, but it's true, and it's what God wants us to do. Secondly, you can invest in dad, and this is going to sound kind of cliche too, by spending time with dad. We live in a world that buys for so much of our time, and we have so many things going on. But if you look back in your life, and you think about all the ways dad invested in you, we need to spend time with dad. After all, he's invested so much in our lives, and he's half the reason we're where we're at today, because he invested into our lives. We should invest back into his. In Psalms 127, in verses 3 and 5, it says, "Happy is the man," this is the one that we read this morning for our scripture reading, "happy is the man who has a quiver full of children, that they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Happy is the man who has a house full of children." They're a blessing from God. They're a inheritance from God, it says in previous verses. They're a blessing from God. Part of the reasons they were a blessing is because in those times, children would take care of their parents, as I've already said. And so the more children a father had, the more blessed he would have, because his future would look great, because he had all these children. And it says that when the enemy would come to the gate, see, that's where business went down, was at the gate. And the more children a father had at the gate with him, the more people he had behind him backing him. And so when an enemy would try to come and attack the gate, if a father had a lot of sons, he had a lot of weapons behind him to stand with him, to defend his home. I guess in our church, my dad would be the strongest, potentially the strongest guy in this church, if we were in Bible times. Although we're not so sure about grandchildren right now. So far the trend has not been very good. As far as, I'm not saying that girls aren't a blessing from God, because they are. They're a total investment. No, I actually had that written in my notes. So, girls are an investment to the father in a totally different way. And they would help mom in the home, and they were an extreme blessing. All children, it doesn't just say men. All children were a blessing from God. And they were happy as the man who has a quiver full of them. He shall not be ashamed. He will so speak with his enemies in the gates with confidence because of his children, because of his boys and his girls. The Bible says that a man is blessed. Let's be honest. When things go bad, when your car breaks down, who did you call? Dad, right? You might call mom. Where's dad? Right? Dad has invested so much into you, and he still is investing in you today. And you'd call your dad when your car broke down. You know, maybe it's time for you to go help dad with something. He may not even be asking for your help. He may not even need your help. But I'm sure he wouldn't mind your company. Take time out of your busy schedule to invest time with dad. He's invested so much in you, after all. Spend time with your dad. If your dad is no longer around, and that may be the case, take a few minutes to stop and thank your Heavenly Father. And thank him for the dad that you had. And praise God for your Heavenly Father and his goodness. If you had an abusive father or an absent father, thank the Lord for those fatherly figures you did have in your life. Praise the Lord for them. Father's Day is a day that we can invest in dad. But let's not just invest in dad today. Let's invest in dad tomorrow and the next day. Let's invest in dad by spending time with our fathers. After all, he spent a lot of time with us and was patient with us. Thirdly, we can invest in dad by honoring him by leaving a legacy. Proverbs 17:16 says, "Children's children, grandchildren, are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father." Invest in Dad by leaving a legacy, because Dad has left a legacy, whether it was a good legacy or a bad legacy, he's left a legacy. Children are supposed to be the crown to grandfathers. A crown is something beautiful. It's something that's valuable. Fathers have invested in their children by providing, sacrificing, protecting, loving selflessly, leading by examples. These are fathers who have left behind a legacy, a beautiful crown, a crown worth following. The question this morning is, what kind of legacy are you leaving? No matter what kind of father you had, you have a heavenly father who willingly sacrificed for you so you can have a relationship with you. Are you leaving a legacy that's worth following? Are you honoring Dad's legacy? Are you honoring your heavenly father with your life that you're living? Praise the Lord for my father. Praise the Lord for grandfathers. Praise the Lord for the legacy that they left. And I'm so thankful for my father and my grandfather and their desire to live for God. I know that each had their faults, but I still appreciate their years of investment into my life. And I hope you're thankful for your father and your grandfather and your heavenly father. My prayer is that my life will live up to this great legacy that is set before me. I also praise the Lord for my heavenly father, the greatest legacy of all. And my hope and prayer is that my life will be a reflection of God's great glory and love as his child. That's my desire. And that should be your desire if you're God's child. No matter what kind of father you had, you should want to live for God and his glory. What kind of legacy are you setting? Is your heavenly father honored by your life? If your heavenly father has invested so much into you, we should in turn try to invest into him. Are you thankful for your dad and your granddad and the investment they made in your life? I'm so thankful for my father, and I'm so thankful for the fatherly figures that I've had in my life and the investment they made in my life. I hope today that you'll take time to honor Dad and praise the Lord for the father that you had. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the ways that Dad has invested in us. Help us today, in the days ahead, to be investing in Dad. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much for God the Father, who loved us so much and sent Jesus, his only Son, to pay for our sins, to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And I pray if there's somebody here this morning that's never accepted that gift of love through your Son Jesus, that today would be the day that they would accept you as their Savior. They believe that Jesus died, buried, and rose again. And I pray for all of us who have accepted that free gift, that we will want to live to honor our Father, that we will want to live to bring praise to God. And we just thank you so much for the privilege we have of being here today. In Jesus' name, amen.